He's viable.
It's by doing all this other stuff.
It's by adding as things change.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Talking about all the people that don't like changing in their fantasy football league right before the opening. And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the week prior to the CFFL annual draft. And that means we're going to be doing at least a first-round mock draft, but now Wayne told me he's got two rounds figured out. Okay, well, we'll do two rounds then. And that's because you don't have a first-round pick, isn't it?
No, I was going to do three rounds originally all the time, but once I got into the middle of the second round, it seemed pretty obvious. So I'm like, eh.
Well, it's here, and as always, we're usually 100% correct with our picks. I know Dan and I have always been 100% correct with our first-round picks, as Wayne sits there and chuckles.
Now, you can't be right because I always lie to you and mislead you and don't talk about guys that I want. So I
have to finish one thing. So on our way, we've been meeting for breakfast before doing the podcast. And I told you that on the way to breakfast, I was listening to Barstool Sports on Sirius XM. And I got in the middle of their conversation. For some reason, they were talking about punishments and stuff doled out by pirates and going through all the different punishments. And I'm like, I don't know what that has to do with sports unless you're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But on the way back to here, to the Dr. Pepper Man Room for the podcast, after breakfast, they were talking with Steve-O from the Jackass movies. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with sports either.
Okay, yeah. I'm searching my brain. I'm like, I don't get it. But
So the two times I've listened to Barstool Sports in one day. No sports.
Unless you consider, just bar stool.
Unless you consider getting catapulted in the air while sitting in a porta potty full of shit. Sports. I don't know.
Well, during the pandemic, maybe. I don't know.
As long as you had a mask on.
That's right. As long as you're practicing social distancing, you're fine.
We're doing the show in our masks. Or not.
They look a lot like us, too.
So check out the website, cffpodcast.com. Everything we talk about today, including our three new required reading segments or articles. I know you sent me one, and I couldn't find it again. So I'll have to put that on next week.
Oh, did it actually come through? Because it kept telling me it wasn't sending it. So I just tried to send you the link.
The one you sent me, I did get, and I was going to save that for next. But you sent me one. The second part of...
Oh, that one that you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a three-parter.
Yeah, and I couldn't find... I erased that text message.
Oh, I'm sure I still have it.
Okay, that'd be great. So, yeah. And then we'll get your two in there next week. Because I did get the one with...
He just doesn't want you to see this stuff before the draft. It's all a conspiracy.
No, but this is about time when draft's starting. And I went through three articles. And they're all from Fantasy Football Today. Two from Steve Schwartz and one from Joseph Hutchins.
You know, I forgot to ask you at breakfast.
Yeah.
Because you frequent the Fantasy Football Today and you frequent, what's the other?
Football Guys?
Fantasy Pros.
Okay, yes.
Did you hear about their on-air issue?
No.
Oh, one of the guys... Bobby Sylvester.
Okay.
He's was one of the hosts of their podcast.
All right.
Along with Tagliere.
Okay. Oh, I was listening to him yesterday at work, to Tagliere. It's
Mike Tagliere, Bobby Sylvester, and...
A guy that I thought was on ESPN, but he just had the same name, but it's
yeah,
not.
Your, Yates.
Yates, yeah. I'm like, is that Clinton Yates?
No.
No,
but Bobby Sylvester has since been fired.
Oh, what did he do?
He They won't say exactly, and I can't find it anywhere that tells what happened.
Did he do it that photographer for the NBA did?
I don't know what that was.
Well, a photographer of the NBA got fired because he put out something on his Instagram or Twitter that said Joe and the Ho with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
No. Well, this was he apparently was cyberbullying somebody.
Oh Lord.
So he sent something out on either Instagram or one of the stupid social media things, yeah, which everybody should know not to use.
Exactly. Nothing is private.
That's correct. So he was sending something out and all they would say is that it was unprofessional, it was whatever. I'm trying to find out what it was exactly.
But we have turned into such a nation of pussies.
It's true.
Actually, I heard somebody say something too, speaking of turning into a nation of pussies. But he said, you ever notice that balls are always considered tough and pussies are always considered weak?
Okay.
Yet, all you have to do is flick some guy's balls with your finger and he's in pain for an hour.
Keel right over.
And pussies give birth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If guys had to give birth, there'd be no more guys.
So there you go. Nope. Anyways, so I'm sorry, Sylvester, or whatever your name is.
Yep, Bobby Sylvester. Yep.
You're not one of our three articles, and maybe that's why, because you were cyberbullying.
You can't write.
But the first article is called How to Draft from the 12th Position by Steve Schwartz. This is perfect for all those leagues that are newly drafting each year. And I know whenever I'm in my work league, we always start over every year. And we do a random draw as to where you draft. And every time I get the 12th pick, because it's that, you know, serpentine thing where you get 12 and 13 and then you're sitting for another day and a half before you get another pick. Every time I get that, I change my whole draft plan. But This will tell you what to do and give you some suggestions.
That's why auction drafts should be more popular. I don't know why they're not.
Yeah. Well, they're a lot of work.
I don't know that they're that much more work.
It takes a lot more thinking than sitting in front of your ESPN, CBS Sports, or Yahoo Fantasy thing and saying, well, this is the guy that's ranked the highest. I'll take him.
Or buying a magazine on the way to the draft that's was printed in February.
Yeah. Or what position does Leonard Fournette play?
Yeah. Or just going in blind and drafting guys that are already on other people's teams.
Exactly.
That's good.
You know,
that's
I'll take Corey Dillon. He's been retired for 20 years.
Exactly. Well, he's in the magazine that I bought last time.
My other article that I have required reading for is by Steve Schwartz also.
Oh.
How to steal a top-ranked quarterback late in your draft.
When we do the mock, I'm gonna
You're relate. Gonna go through that?
I'm just gonna spew some information. It might be helpful.
And he goes through some of the best candidates for you at quarterback that should be available later in your draft. You know, should you decide to hold off on picking one early, if you have that kind of
and you should
fortitude,
you should
not if you read the article about getting rid of making running backs not as important as they should be.
I read that article. I don't agree with that article. And you can't not make them important. They're important. And there's not very many of them.
And finally, the article on the front page for you is which quarterbacks will fall from the fantasy top 10 in 2020. By Joseph Hutchins.
Was Aaron in that list?
Well, that brings up another thing.
Ooh.
I was doing some more reading and studying for this show, and I came across an article that had the, you know, it's one of these where, you ever see those articles where they have 12 guys and they do a mock draft and each one picks?
Right, for one team.
And they all rank the players at each position? Well, this was 13 guys that got together and they all voted on who's likely to be the bust candidates at each position.
Okay.
And I went through quarterbacks, and I looked at that, and right away I'm like, oh, this is bullshit.
Aaron, right on top of the list there?
Quarterbacks. Number one bust candidate, Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yep, that makes my bet good.
He's an average draft of quarterback 7, and they think he's the top guy to be a bust.
Well, he can't throw, and they're going to take some of the running away from him. So, and he's not going to have that touchdown
machine
number running that he had last year.
No.
So.
Number two guy, everybody's All-American, Aaron Rodgers.
Huh? I will tell you this though, the recent swing that I've been reading,
yeah,
stuff that I've been looking at, there's a lot more people behind him, and there are a lot more people that are smart and have numbers,
yeah,
behind him, just saying that it's not Aaron Rodgers, it's the offense.
Well,
it's what they want him to do.
I'm going to tell you something. It's not even the offense. It's the defense. I've been waiting for a time to bring up this stat. I was hoping to wait for Dan, but since you brought it up,
Dan, call in. We're recording right now.
So I have this stat that is interesting that I found and thought you would like it. For the Packers, I'm tired. This comes when everybody blaming Aaron Rodgers for everything.
Okay.
For all their losses. In the last 8 playoff losses for the Packers, okay, the Packers defense gave up 45, 37, 45, 44, and 37 points in those games.
That's not good.
The other 3 games, there was a game-tying drive at the end of the game, and the Green Bay Packers never got the ball back in order to take a chance at winning the game. So the whole thing that Aaron Rodgers can't win a playoff game, like, no, their defense can't stop anything.
Oh, I agree with that.
All right, so now I can finally get rid of this stat, now that it's out there.
But the good thing is that...
it's been sitting up here for 2 months.
As an Aaron Rodgers supporter, you want their defense to suck, because in fantasy football,
yes,
that helps. Gets
him more points.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, mark my words, as I said when they drafted Jordan Love, that chip on Aaron Rodgers' shoulder, no, that's not a growth from his broken collarbone.
He's not playing the hunchback.
That's the chip on his shoulder that's going to win him the MVP this year.
I'm telling you, there is a lot of support coming up behind Rodgers right now. I'm surprised.
Yeah. The third quarterback, I'm just going to go through the top 5 for you. Actually, top, I can run through them all. There's not that many. Number 3rd was Deshaun Watson. Candidate.
A lot of new guys, yeah.
Number 4, Tom Brady.
I don't disagree with that. Although, I think he's one of those swing guys. He's either going to be really, really good in this offense and with all these players, right, or he's not going to be good.
Receiving 5 out of 13 votes, Baker Mayfield.
Could see it. If they want to run the ball like they did in Minnesota, which is the same offense.
Tied with Baker Mayfield with 5 votes, Drew Brees. Only because he's getting old, I guess.
I'm going to say his arm's getting strength, isn't there? We know that.
And then the last guy that I'll give you, 4 votes out of 13, Dak Prescott.
That makes me happy.
But I am happy that Lamar Jackson is also in here as a bus candidate. He only had 3 votes, but people are finally realizing that, hey, I'm right.
Well, I don't know.
I'm right.
I got $5 in my pocket that says you're not.
That was last year.
I still got the $5.
Purple glasses on. And questions, comments, concerns, don't forget to email us, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or dan@strap1971@yahoo.com. Also, the fan line. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us a text. We'll play it or read it on the air. 414-520-8249. I am actually surprised that we're not getting more. I just looked at our stats for listeners and downloads again.
Yep.
We got a lot of people listening.
They're just not
But they're afraid to call or send us a text or email or anything.
Listen, we're not angry old men.
We just sound like bitter old men.
We're angry on the podcast. We're nice in person.
Exactly. Lovable little fuzzballs.
Tribbles.
Now, and speaking of that, too, that I'm surprised we don't have more people doing this. We still have 6 openings for the Glutton's Guillotine League.
Oh, come on, people. Yes. I got to win me some food.
It's boring driving those trucks without having places to stop.
I gotta have some new places to go.
So you want in. There's still a chance. Remember, email or text. Email or text. Let us know you want in. All the rules and everything are available for you on the website, cffpodcast.com. Get involved in our Glutton's Guillotine League. All it's going to cost you is one $20 gift card for a restaurant, nationwide chain of some kind. I don't care if you want to send me a McDonald's gift card.
It's technically a restaurant.
Technically, because they sell food.
Barely.
In fact, No, I can't. I was going to say, Judy and I went to McDonald's, and I walked into the restaurant. I'm watching. There's a guy. I'm hoping he was cleaning out the ice cream machine. But he had the top cover off, and he had a wet cloth. He was wiping up the stuff that they put in to make the ice cream or the shakes or whatever it is.
Right.
Wiping it off, and then he takes the cloth and puts it over the bin and wrings it out and goes to the sink.
Wait a minute.
Rinses out the cloth.
You're not saying the bin where they actually put the stuff
yes,
in?
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
Walks to the sink, rinses out the cloth. And I'm just standing there watching him going, I'm never going to order a shake or
no.
Ice cream cone again.
That is scary.
I don't even know which machine it was, but he had it looked like a shake machine maybe. But
well, you can just rule out anything that's like, dairy on there.
But the manager was standing right next to him watching him do this. I'm going, okay, I'm going to assume he's cleaning that out. But why would you ring the shit into the holding bin?
Either way, why would you? Yeah.
Oh, that's just, I dry heaved.
That's
a little.
That's right. Yeah, a little backage.
but enough of that. We got a lot of stuff to get into, like the news and notes, our fantasy girl, and our mock draft. Not necessarily in that order, but
yeah, just throw them all in a hat, pull them out randomly.
It'll be in order. So here we go with the news, everybody. So I was thinking of getting a intro and a sounder for this, but I was afraid that if I would do that, we would be out of this situation. But it looks like it's going to be around a little more, so maybe for the next podcast, I'll have an intro sounder for our weekly COVID sports update.
Oh, there you go. Let everybody know what the pandemic's doing.
For this week's one, I bring you this. So I'm constantly being told that we need to follow the science when it comes to COVID, correct?
Okay, yes.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. But how come that doesn't matter when it comes to wearing face diapers or when it comes to the people that science has constantly told us are the least susceptible to COVID? That's right. The Power Five conferences in college football have been talking about canceling fall sports due to the COVID threat. The first Chicken Littles ended up being the Big Ten. The Pac-12 really wanted to be the first, but they were scared and waited for somebody else to make the first move. Welcome to Big Ten. Both conferences have, in air quotes, postponed their fall schedules, saying that they would consider playing a short spring season for their football leagues, teams.
So the only fall sport that gets to play in the spring is football?
Yeah.
They're going to screw everybody else?
Well, that's the only one making any money.
Well, I understand that. That's true regardless.
Yeah, well, that's the only one they're talking about right now. Yeah, I don't know if all of them are going to play or not. But
interesting.
So the kids who are out partying right now, hanging out with their friends, and in some cases taking parts in riots across the country, are all of a sudden going to catch the deadly COVID if they put on shoulder pads and a helmet. Now, let's talk some science, shall we? I'm going to ask these questions. Might be rhetorical, but maybe you know the answers. Do you know that according to the facts that we have learned so far with COVID, how college football players are more likely to die than by COVID?
Being hit by a bus.
Playing football.
Oh.
Now, how about high school football players, which are also canceling? How are they most likely to die, according to the stats?
I'm going to go with COVID. Playing football.
Falling down the stairs in their house.
Oh.
On top of that, 60% of the people who even get the virus will not even know they have it or have had it. And many of those that get it will only have minor symptoms. But let's cancel football for the safety of the players. I want to thank the Clemson string bean who thinks he's going to be the first pick in the draft next year, Trevor Lawrence, who said the following. People are at just as much, if not more, risk if we don't play.
Sure.
He continued, players will be sent home to their communities where social distancing is highly unlikely, and medical care and expenses will be placed on the families if they were to contract COVID, not to mention the players coming from situations that are not good for them, their future, and having to go back to that. Football is a safe haven for so many people. We are more likely to get the virus in everyday life than playing football.
Now, wait a minute. Who said that?
That would be Trevor Lawrence from Clemson.
I'm putting him on top of my list for next year.
He's my first pick.
He's smart.
My list of favorite people is growing, and I don't know. I'm not going to have enough room on my T-shirt for all the names. Like, say their name, and I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence and Ed Orgeron and Jim Hardballs. And
don't forget the guy from
Nick Saban.
The guy from New England.
Bill Belichick?
No, the wide receiver. Little white guy.
Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman.
Yes.
Yes, he's out there too.
Even the best coach, like I said, in football, Nick Saban, said, look, players are a lot safer with us than they are running around at home. We have around a 2% positive ratio on our team since the 4th of July. It's a lot higher than that in society. And tragically, they're all right. I am happy, though, that there are more people starting to actually fight like they are the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark during a rainstorm.
And good visual.
Yeah. Even the idiot from Michigan, like I said, Jim Harbaugh, said the season should be played and that he's one of the dimmest light bulbs on the tree, as you all know. Fortunately, it does look like some of the more intelligent and common sense using officials for these colleges are in the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. We're still looking at playing football this fall. The Big 12 has said that they will continue their season as scheduled. Unfortunately, two of the five power conferences that are still planning on playing are amongst three of the least exciting conferences in the Power Five.
It'll be easier to get into the playoffs, though.
Yeah. I loved it when Alabama said, hey, we're here to be national champions. Well, there's only, 30 teams playing now at the most? Good luck. Oh, man. Football's football, and I congratulate them for not falling prey to the scaremongers and the CDC and other bureaucracies. Also, did you know they're talking about how it's unsafe to play football right now? Did you realize that back in 1917, there are pictures of a college football game being played at Georgia Tech with fans in the stands? How did that all happen during the Spanish flu?
They had to have entertainment. I don't know.
They all had face diapers on. And
they were dumb back then.
They
were dumb.
So there it is. Now we'd be playing the closing to our little COVID sports update.
That'd be people dying. Bring out, Monty Python, bring out your dad.
Bring out your dad. Throw him on our carts.
I'm not dead yet. Yes, you are.
Oh, my God. Speaking of dead, so you had Darius Geis as a keeper in your league. And now you are obviously angry about that move after finding out he has been arrested on domestic violence charges, including one count of strangulation, which is a felony. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
According to a spokesman for the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, the other charges laid down on Geis include three counts of assault and battery, as well as one count of destruction of property. That's not good.
Did this all happen recently?
I don't know.
Or is this something from before that they're finally bringing to light?
I don't know. Not surprisingly, the Washington Redskins, who I will not call a football team, ended up cutting Darius Geis, and there wasn't even a second thought about it, according to J.P. Finley, who reported, Darius Geis cut. Ron Rivera means it when he says it's about the culture.
Go get him, Ron.
There you go. Now, there's still a chance that all this could be for naught. As you know, this is the NFL. Most of the time, nothing comes out of these domestic violence situations once they get a little further down the trail. Normally, what happens is the woman who was beat on usually doesn't end up cooperating with law enforcement. So, watch out for the thing falling apart in this case, because that is historically what happens. For instance.
Maybe that's why he's not getting dropped in. I've noticed some of the rankings. He hasn't been really dropped that far. But.
For instance, remember Tyreek Hill?
Who?
Tyreek Hill.
Who's this guy?
He's a receiver who allegedly beat on his girlfriend and miraculously... Oh, no, that never happened.
That never happened.
Without a doubt, like you said, Darius Geis is going to fall to the final round of most drafts and will possibly not even be drafted in many fantasy leagues, as he is surely due to be suspended once everything gets sorted out by the league. Which brings up the questions that I'm going to ask you. Let's say, because you have Darius Geis in the Dynasty League, don't you?
Barely. He's barely hanging on. Barely.
Luckily, I made my cuts before this happened. Let's say Darius Geis gets suspended for 6 games. Do you keep him on your roster in a Dynasty League that has 30-plus roster spots?
He gets suspended, but he's not on a team.
No, let's say you have him on your team and you have to make your cuts coming.
No, but he's suspended, but he's not on an NFL team.
Right, because he's cut. Yeah, so he's
is he getting he's, the, is he he's getting the Antonio
Brown?
Oh, okay, so it's only 6 games. 30.
Well,
spots
assuming he gets this same 6-game suspension situation that Antonio Brown just robbed.
So if it were 6 games, and you had 30 spots on your roster, I'd keep him. I'd keep him to see what happened. See if somebody picked him up.
What about an 8-game suspension? Take up a roster spot for next year, maybe?
That's where it gets a little tough. I think that's right at the edge right there.
Do you try and trade him?
Nah.
And if so, what would it take? Third-round pick?
No. I mean, if somebody offered me a 5, I'd take it. But I don't think nobody's going to offer for a guy that's been hurt constantly and now he's
suspended. May not be able to play again?
Yeah.
Final question. This is a gambling one.
Uh-oh.
Over-under. 1/2 of a snap this season for Darius Geis.
The only reason I would say over is because of the COVID. Yeah, so never know.
He's going to be in there for one
play. If I'm going to gamble, I would just say, you know, maybe somebody takes a chance and he plays special teams. What do I know?
All right. So as for possible replacements, the Redskins do have pretty good cap room. So it wouldn't be surprising to maybe see a Devonta Freeman who is still out there.
They already have 100 running backs on their roster, for God's sakes.
I know, but when you have 100, that means you don't have one.
That's true, but bringing in Devonta Freeman isn't going to change that.
So he would add some depth behind Adrian Peterson, Peyton Barber, Bryce Love, and who's the other guy that everybody's
Antonio Gibson.
Antonio Gibson, everybody's just
and J.J.
frothing over.
J.J. McKissick, don't forget him.
J.D. McKissick.
J.D. McKissick, yeah.
Personally, if it's up to me, I'm thinking Bryce Love.
I'm thinking that, too.
He's going to be your guy to watch there in Washington. If you remember, he was their heir to the throne in Stanford after Christian McCaffrey left.
Correct.
And when healthy, he was a fantastic running back. Redskins picked him in the 4th round in 2019, thinking he had the playmaking ability to be a star. And now that he's got good ankles, maybe he'll be fine.
That'd be awesome if he did.
Other players that you thought might be good to pick up, but maybe not. Kenny Stills. You might not want to be planning him for your fantasy team. He's been placed on the active non-football illness list by the Houston Texans. No, not Houston Texans. Yeah, Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Stills is going to be seeing much action as the Texans were hoping to trade him during the offseason. And he has a $7 million price tag. So they're expecting him to be the odd man out with the addition of Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. However.
So why didn't they just cut him?
Because the $7 million.
Oh, it's guaranteed?
Yeah. Oh. That's a little cap hit right there.
How the heck does that guy get a guaranteed contract?
How does he get $7 million?
Somebody was stupid. Somebody should be fired for that.
But, you know, all it takes is one little injury, and he could be back in the good graces of Houston Texans.
That's actually a guy that the Packers were linked to in the post or
really?
Preseason. Yeah, they were saying that that's a guy that they should Taylor Gabriel and Stills, which I don't want either one of them. But
yeah, but if you're going to take one of those two, I'd take a chance on. Well, you know, I'm thinking Will Fuller. That's what I don't want Kenny Stills.
No, I mean, no. Really,
I was thinking Will Fuller.
Stills was okay with the Dolphins. He was okay with the Texans. But we got plenty of okay receivers.
Yeah, we need more Devontae Adams.
Yes.
So are you trying to find the next breakout candidate for your team?
Yes.
Look no further than the Buffalo Bills and running back.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Josh Allen.
No. Devin Singletary. Okay. We just went through Josh Allen.
Well, I know. I thought you were going to double cross me there.
Offensive coordinator Brian Daboll is saying that the team expects to give the second year back plenty of opportunities in both the run and passing game after watching Singletary excel between the tackles as a pass catcher. He had a strong, strong rookie season. And with the Bills' passing offense to be likely improved this season, it should continue to be take away attention from Singletary by the defenses on the other team, making him the man. Currently, Singletary is ranking right around RB25. He was one of my keepers this year, as we'll find out in the CFFL draft. Making him a high fourth-round pick in most 12-team PPR leagues. Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you get good running backs up until the fifth round, and then that kind of falls off.
But. Yeah. And speaking of better late than never, Mitch Trubisky.
I think that one's better never than late, but that's just me.
From our show last week, who's reportedly finally working with a quarterback coach.
Genius.
Oh, man. We mentioned that last week. Well, there's another guy doing the same thing. He's A.J. Green. You know him?
Never heard of him.
Usually you only hear about him first couple games of the season.
Yeah.
So he's working this year to avoid injuries.
That's a good thing.
That's right. Green has said his training regimen is designed to help him avoid the injuries he has dealt with the last couple seasons. He said this in his quote, "I am doing more stuff in testing those ankles, strengthen those ankles, strengthen these toes, learning how to land better," Green said. "Just little things like that that I didn't do in the previous years."
Is he in a contract year?
Yes.
Oh. Shocker.
Green has missed some or all of the seasons or a season due to injuries last three of the 4 years. Green is currently ranked wide receiver 29. There is no way in hell I would draft A.J. Every time I've had A.J. Green on my team, well, I mean, this is for everybody, he's been hurt.
Wait a minute. I got to change my mock draft. Hang on a second. just kidding.
He has an overall draft ranking of 75, which would make him a high seventh rounder.
Yeah.
Oof. So we got to do something.
Uh-oh.
Well, not that.
Oh. And he's right. Mistakes were made. Clearly, mistakes were made. And I'm frankly not happy about them.
That's right. I need to clear up a mistake I made.
Hold on, though. I gotta just give it a minute for Dan to bask in the glow of yeah. being able to call out a mistake.
Yeah, Dan called this out on me, and I'm like, shit, I didn't know that.
Thanks, Dan.
For the last couple of episodes, we have been saying that the players who opt out of the 2020 season would be getting $350,000, no questions asked, which is why I thought many of these athletes who are not likely to make the team roster, the final roster for their team, are opting out for just for some guaranteed money. Well, here's the clarification. Any player that opts out of the 2020 season will receive $150,000, and that money is only guaranteed if the player comes back the next year and makes the team. If they do not, the team has the ability to get that money back.
That'll never happen.
You know, I don't think so either.
Never happen.
The players that get the $350,000 are the players who get the signed little note from their doctor saying that they need to miss a season due to medical reasons.
So it's only guys based in California.
Yeah. I need my medical marijuana. And can you give me that $350,000 so I can buy it?
Can you give me a script?
And with that league's deadline passed for players to opt out of the season due to COVID, it looks like a grand total of 67 players have taken advantage of the free money being given out by the NFL. That means 2.5% of all NFL players have decided to opt out due to COVID.
So the NFL has its own welfare line.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when you give somebody free money for doing nothing.
There you go.
As we learned with the unemployment. Woo. If you look at the players who are really taking advantage of the league because they were likely to not even make a final roster, I have determined that number to be 11 after some quick research on the players listed. That means 16% of that 2.5% are likely just opting out because they didn't have a chance of making a roster in the first place. So they decided to take the free money and hope that the NFL doesn't come back at them for it next year. Now, everyone, I think, knows that I'm not a fan of Deion Sanders. Never have been, never will be, but he said something this past week that I had to applaud him when it deals with these people that are opting out due to COVID. Here's what Deion Sanders said. And did you know that he's no longer on the NFL channel?
Yes, I actually read that.
They didn't renew his contract?
They canceled his show, and then he was going to go do something
prime
else.
Time. Now he's prime.
Yeah.
The corner of prime and time. Anyways, he said this. All players opting out in all sports, please believe the game will go on without you. This is a business, and don't you ever forget that. There's no one that's bigger than the game itself. Only the refs, umps, and officials are that important that you can't play without them, not you.
He didn't get the memo.
Dude, you got to be understanding. I say, preach on, Mr. Sanders. It is finally nice to hear someone say what is on every normal person's mind in this country. Now, if we can only get the rest of the country to start thinking this way, we'd be much further along the road to shedding our face diapers than we're being forced to wear, which have not been proven to protect anybody from anything. Well, want to talk about Cam Newton?
Love me some Cam Newton.
I'm sure you do. How long has it been since Cam Newton was signed by the Patriots?
About a month.
All that time, he's still crying and whining. Cam Newton wants everyone to know that he still wakes up mad and that he is a self-motivator. Yeah, Cammy, we get it. You're a tough guy who was wrongfully let go after you wrecked your shoulder and ankle. We get it. You're going to prove everyone wrong and take the Patriots to the Super Bowl. We get it. You got to play. If Newton wants to be a team starting quarterback, he has a lot of work to do to prove his health on the field is there. There's a reason why 31 other teams said no thanks to this guy. Right?
I'm riding me some Cam all the way to the championship.
Okay, good luck with that. Without another big name wide receiver taken in the draft this year, the Packers are looking at Allen Lazard as the probable number two guy in Green Bay. Each year, Lazard recorded 13 receptions on third downs. Or last year, he recorded 13 receptions on third down. He's big, strong guy, who's going to be able to out-muscle smaller defenders. Currently, Lazard is ranked, you want to guess?
Well, wide receiver number, well, I'm going to say he's 42.
58, making him a low 13th rounder.
I guess I'm a homer.
Yeah, well, you know, those green glasses. Take those off. Patriots continue to try and build their team and trying to make a team that's going to not look as horrible as it probably is. And they signed Lamar Miller to a one-year deal. And the team went and then placed him on the PUP list.
They put Lamar Miller on the PUP list?
Signed him and then put him on the PUP list.
So does he have to... Oh, wait a minute. Is this the preseason PUP list?
Preseason PUP list.
Okay.
So if they take him off, he'll play.
Okay.
If they put him on there again at the beginning of the season, 6 games he's got to miss.
I was bummed because I was thinking Damian Harris was going to get a lot of play. And
yeah.
I'm still hoping he is. But
and when they signed Lamar Miller, that looked like it was going to falter a little bit.
Yeah.
But if Miller doesn't come off the PUP list, Damian Harris might still be the guy.
Might be the stud.
Yeah. But with Lamar Miller, that's some nice quality experience in the backfield. And he'll likely get more playing time since Sony Michel is currently on the PUP list.
Yeah, Sony Michel's, I don't know if he's going to play this year.
Yeah. And then finally, I think this is finally. Yeah, finally.
Finally.
This week must have been the week to sign big-name tight ends. Both Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers sign their starting tight ends to huge deals. 49ers gave George Kittle a 5-year, $75 million contract that includes $40 million in guaranteed money and an $18 million signing bonus just for putting his name on the paper.
Did you see how quick he, when that was first reported, you see how quick he was to social media to
That's not true. It's only $75 million, not 76.
Don't believe what the media is saying.
Contract easily made George Kittle the highest paid tight end in NFL history.
How long did that last?
Well, he's still.
Oh, okay.
Because Kansas City Chiefs said, not so fast. We have a pretty good guy, too. They went out and gave their star tight end, Travis Kelce, a 4-year, $57.25 million contract extension, including $28 million in guaranteed money. That extension will keep Kelce under contract with the Chiefs for the next 6 seasons. Sadly, with this deal, Kelce is only the second highest paid tight end in the league, even though he's clearly the number one guy.
So is he going to hold out?
No. Actually, he was on, he was being interviewed on, I think it was ESPN, NFL Live or something like that. And he was saying that, you know, it wasn't even, he wasn't even thinking of anything else. That it was Kansas City all the way. He loves Kansas City. And
oh, it wasn't about the money then?
Well, he never actually said that.
But he nodded to it.
In context. You put all that in context. It was all about just being in Kansas City. Could have been a dollar.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I play for a buck. I play because I love the game.
Which brings us to this. The news is done. You have anything you want to add?
No, that goes. Good coverage.
The CFFL next week is our draft.
Uh-oh.
And we started this whole podcast thing because of our fantasy football league. And as always, right before the draft, we do our, after the keeper players are named, we do our little first-round mock draft. But this week we'll go 2 rounds because, hey, we got time. And there's nothing else going on. What are we going to do?
And we did the research.
Go outside and put our masks on?
Yeah, let's do it outside.
So, just to go over everything quickly, in our league, everybody keeps 3 players from their previous season. You're allowed to keep a player no more than 3 consecutive years. If they get traded away, contract resets. So as we go through the picks, and there's some teams that have a couple picks in the first round because of trades that were made, but we'll go through 2 rounds just so we can see if Wayne's going to pick somebody that, you know, he really needs.
Some wacky pick.
So as we're making our picks, you're going to find out that some players aren't available, and that's because they were kept.
Yeah, it's a 3-team keep, or it's a 14-team league, PPR.
Yes.
With 3 keepers.
Yes, actually a pretty intense stats-driven league.
Yes.
You get points for rushing average, completion percentage, receiving average. No kickers, though. Kickers get credited.
I keep trying to bring them back every year. They won't let me do it.
I want a draft.
I want kickers.
Jason Elam. Is he still available?
I don't know what to do with my 20th pick. There's no kickers.
So, yeah, no kickers. Those kicker points get credited to the defense, which...
which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, rather than having to start a kicker and have him screw up your week. All right. So, first pick in the draft. You got your little sheet ready that you made?
I did, and I'm hoping I didn't just delete it.
Oh, that wouldn't be good. I did print this off for you if you need it.
No, it doesn't help me.
All right.
You go ahead, and I'll
first pick in the draft goes to the DC Snipers. This is their second year in the league, I believe, right? Second year? Keepers.
DC's been around for a while.
His keepers were Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, and Julio Jones. He has a stud at each one of the major positions. So I would assume you have him going running back, I would assume. I think I do.
No, I definitely have him going running back.
All right, so the question is, the top 3 running backs available, according to our little stats situation, would be rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kenyon Drake of Arizona, or David Johnson of Houston?
He's definitely going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, I was hoping you would fall to me, but he's already gone with the first pick.
He's not going to fall to 14 or 13, wherever you are.
I think I'm 10.
Oh, you're 13. You got my picks.
So. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. All right. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we're going to give him to the DC Snipers, giving him two running backs, a receiver, and Aaron Rodgers. Looks like our winner in the league right there. Next up, the Roswell Violators. This is our guy in Texas. He kept overrated Lamar Jackson, Austin Eckler, and Melvin Gordon.
Now, I do want to, since you did mention Melvin or Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I do want to put a caveat on this whole thing because DC saved Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
This guy saved Lamar Jackson. The league overall saved 8 quarterbacks.
Out of 14 teams.
Out of 14 teams.
There were 8. I kept a quarterback.
You did keep a quarterback.
Yay.
There are only 2 teams in the league that should have kept quarterbacks.
Me?
We'll find out when we get there.
Yeah, it's got to be me.
But you assume this. 3 players per team, 14 teams.
Yes.
There's 42 players saved.
Correct.
So technically the top 42 more or less should be saved.
Right.
So if you're saving somebody outside.
Unless you didn't have one in the top 42.
Right. So assuming, and there's a lot of equality in there.
Right.
So assuming you kept somebody in the top 60, you're probably okay. Anybody outside of that top 60 probably was not a good save. So as an example, Aaron Rodgers was rated number 83.
Yes, but anybody that knows the situation with Aaron Rodgers.
No,
number one.
Okay. Speaking about taking off the green and gold glasses. But no, I'm saying strictly from a drafting standpoint.
Okay.
That based on value-based drafting concepts, the quarterbacks are so even. Other than the top 2 or 3 guys, and this year it happened to be 2, that it's not wise to spend early draft capital on quarterbacks because they're all very similar.
Yeah, theoretically you should be able to get somebody that technically would be able to put up the same numbers as Aaron Rodgers later than
the top 3 rounds.
Top 3 rounds.
In that that packet I sent you.
Yes.
And that we're going to put up on the website next week for everybody.
Yeah. Actually, I do have, because this is the article you sent me.
Yes.
I will put that up there
okay.
today, because so, I do have this.
So this is free for everybody. It's from CBS Sports Today, and they have a packet. It's got all the players listed. It's been recently updated. So I encourage everybody to print it out and use it, because it's free.
And we'll put this on the, right next to my cheat sheet.
There you go.
And you can kind of like look at it and see who's right. And you'll say, I don't need that CBS one. Dave's cheat sheet is amazing.
Well, and Dave's is free too. And Dave's has been out there longer, but I'm just saying, you know, these guys are professionals, but no, they have the nice thing is they have everything in there for half point PPR, PPR, and regular draft. So you can use this for any of your leagues,
right?
It's got a cheat sheet. It's got, call outs on who to draft in what positions. It's very, I thought it was very interesting. You can look and see if there's one of those guys that you agree with and kind of follow their stuff. It's very interesting.
And this was free from CBS, correct?
Free from CBS.
Okay, so we're not going to like piss them off by putting it up there.
Nope, it's free. It's completely free.
And it'll be a link there, lawyers, so it's not like I'm, you know.
Not handing it out to them free. They still got to go to your site and print it out.
All right, so.
Okay, so.
Justin's sitting at home. He's like nervous, waiting to see who you have him taken.
He's got his hand on the phone right now. I know he does. So what I did is looked at his guys. He's got
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson's number 9.
Austin Eckler.
Number 13.
Okay. Melvin Gordon.
Number 39. So he all his saves were legit. well within the range. So the 3 guys that I had him looking at, I had him obviously looking at a receiver because he's got already the quarterback and a quarterback that he should have saved.
And theoretically 2 stud running backs.
And
theoretically.
Two running backs.
We're not going to say stud?
We'll take the word stud out of there. Come
on, don't you want to make him happier?
No.
No?
He's my opponent. I want him to be pained. So I had him looking at George Kittle, Kenny Galladay, and Odell Beckham.
Oh.
And ultimately, I have him taking George Kittle.
Wow. There goes. George Kittle. Who is technically on our list of receivers, because we have receivers and tight ends. We don't have to start a tight end. We have tight ends considered receivers.
Correct.
In our league.
Correct.
So our clarification. So on our list of available players, George Kittle, the fourth ranked remaining receiver.
And again, these are all just somebody's rankings, so you can rank however you want to.
Yeah, they're all, they're like assholes. Everybody has
one. Everybody has one.
So we're giving the Roswell Violators George Kittle to go with his two running backs and his theoretical starting quality.
And George,
Lamar Jackson.
George's multi-million very dollar rich suitcases.
As long as he doesn't have that money in his pockets, he'll be quicker.
That's correct.
Brings us to the third pick in the draft, Fargo Force. Okay. Fargo's been around since, I believe, pretty close to the beginning of this league.
So 1956?
Almost 20 years, maybe.
There you go.
League's been around. This is our 28th season.
So that explains his saves and and
his saves? Deshaun Watson,
number 24.
Saquon Barkley,
number 2.
Nick Chubb,
number 22.
Okay.
So all good saves.
Yes.
And I have him looking at Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham, and Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, Odell. Now, I'm going to go over what this draft dominator monster has.
Yep.
And again, I'm not able to put in our complete scoring stats on the draft dominator. So this, again, is just what they're allowed me to put in there to rank them. They have Kenny Galladay, DJ Moore, Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley as the top four of best available receivers.
And just so we're all clear, I'm using the rankings that I'm mentioning, the numbers that I'm giving you.
On the CBS?
Are actually from the site.
Okay.
Our website.
Okay.
So it's using the numbers for, it's got
our live scoring site that has the.
It's got our entire scoring system in it. It's perfect. Got all that. So.
It better.
Yeah. So I'm using that as my basis to make my picks. So I had him looking at, like I said, Galladay.
Yes.
Odell Beckham,
yes,
and Cooper Kupp.
All right.
I had him taking Beckham.
Odell Beckham Jr. from the Cleveland Browns will be the third pick to the Fargo Force.
I'm looking at a bounce back year from Odell.
Which brings us to the Tulsa Tornadoes. He's our, what is that called? Our affirmative action team.
Affirmative action team.
There you go,
Brian.
Love
you, Brian.
He has Baker Mayfield as his keeper. This is one of those ones that he shouldn't have kept his quarterback. Oof. What is he ranked?
86.
Ooh. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Number 40.
And Travis Kelce.
Number 12.
There you go.
Okay, so
you,
obviously.
You haven't taken a quarterback?
No.
No, okay.
Obviously, he needs a running back.
Yes, obviously.
So I'm looking at Kenyon Drake.
Yes.
I'm looking at Raheem Mostert.
Okay.
And Jonathan Taylor. Just Ooh. Because I know he's a big Badger fan, so I yes. know he'll be looking at him.
But you got to give him somebody that you know is going to play.
Exactly correct. So I looked at it.
But here's the thing.
Oh.
Out of those three guys, or those other two guys, is Jonathan Taylor going to play any less than a Raheem Mostert or a David Johnson?
See, that's the thing. That's the only reason I didn't have him take Jonathan Taylor right here.
Yeah.
If we find out during spring practices that Taylor's playing all the time,
yes,
then I think he'll probably take Taylor here.
Yes.
But because we don't know that.
So we got a week.
I know.
We're thinking ahead.
It ain't much time.
No.
It's I haven't taken Kenyon Drake.
Kenyon Drake. Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying David Johnson. Yeah, Kenyon Drake is probably going to play. He's probably going to be the starter, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now that David Johnson is gone.
Yeah, he was a stud when he got traded over there.
So we have Kenyon Drake, who the draft dominator also had as the top available running back.
See, sometimes these things
sometimes
work
they match
out.
Up.
Sometimes.
Brings us to the next pick. This is pick 5. The La Crescent Hogs.
That is correct.
Brother of our usual co-host, Dan.
But not as smart as Dan by
not
a
as,
long
no,
shot.
Well,
is he younger or older?
He's older.
Oh, then he's way smarter than Dan.
Because he's older.
See, I said it both ways. So now neither one of them can be mad at me.
La Crescent Hogs have kept Ezekiel Elliott.
Number 3.
Cortland Sutton.
Number 61.
And John Brown of the Buffalo Bills.
Number 84.
So you are going to have him taking, I'm going to guess, either quarterback or running back.
I had him look at those two positions. Now, because I've just made my statement on what I feel quarterbacks about quarterbacks, I'm strictly a late round quarterback guy.
Okay.
So I had him looking at Dak Prescott, who was on my board the highest rated guy. On the Dominator, it's Matt Ryan. They're one and two.
Right.
2-1. Because Matt Ryan was my second rated guy. Then I had him also looking at Raheem Mostert and, oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, Raheem Mostert and Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, you know what? Hopefully you have the same thing here. You haven't taken Jonathan Taylor, don't you?
No, I do not.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay.
Just because of the not having access, not sure.
Okay.
I have him taking Mostert instead. All
right. Just to let you know.
Yes.
It would probably be Jonathan Taylor.
You think?
Yeah, he's a rookie guy, and with it being Wisconsin.
Well, I'm
but we'll just go with your thing.
I'm telling people who they should take, who they're gonna take.
Right.
That's a whole nother story.
That's up to them.
What throws it in.
We have the La Crescent Hogs taking Raheem Mostert of the 49ers, the guy who thought he was worth more money and then cried and said, "Please don't get rid of me."
And then they gave him more money.
Exactly. A little bit.
Well,
he's gonna have to do something.
Something.
Senriku Tsunami are the next pick.
Now I'm gonna petition the league to have him change his name because I have trouble saying it, but that's just me.
Tsunami.
Senriku.
So he is keeping Derrick Henry.
Number 7.
Now I heard a bunch of good stuff about Derrick Henry. That in fact it was one of the podcasts I was listening to yesterday. That Derrick Henry is not necessarily shouldn't necessarily be listed as a QB1. It was the whole PPR thing that you were talking about. I don't remember who it was.
RB1?
Oh, yeah, RB1. Yeah, not definitely not a QB1. But he shouldn't be listed as an RB1, that he's more of an RB2 because of the whole PPR thing. And that when you compare him to other running backs, their points are their boom point. This is a boom or bust guy.
Yes, he is.
That's who was talking about him, was saying that his boom numbers are just as good as other players' boom numbers. The bust numbers are about the same also. So that although he was the number one running back last year, it's all smoke and mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
So
anyways. If you believe in him, you believe in him. And yep. Obviously the sights and everything, I think, what do you have him rated as running back?
I have him rated as running back 4.
So, I mean, we're not far off. And
right.
Then who is his other saves?
Alvin Kamara.
Number 5.
Yep. And Tyreek Hill.
Number 18.
So we're going quarterback. No.
Again, I had him look at quarterback.
I'm like, wait, no, this is Wayne.
But I would say this about Chris. Chris is one of the craftier drafters.
Yeah.
And I've noted in the past where he's waited on quarterback. I think he's in the same boat.
As you?
I just think he looks at it from a value-based position and says, if I don't get Dak Prescott, I'll get, you know, Matt Ryan or whoever later.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to get the best guy he can get. And looking at his saves already, he's in fantastic position. So.
Yes.
But I had him look at Dak Prescott, number 27, Cooper Kupp, number 31, and Kenny Golladay, number 34.
And you have him taking.
I have him taking Kenny Golladay.
Kenny Golladay of the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Goes to the Senriku Tsunami.
I think his numbers last year would have been even more fantastic had Stafford not gotten hurt.
Yes.
So I see a huge upside for him.
Which brings us to the next pick, the number 7 pick in the first round, Forest Lake Frozen Ice Holes.
Now, I got to petition the league to have him shorten his name. It doesn't fit on my phone all in one line, so I got to abbreviate everything.
Just go Ice Holes.
Wow. I felt like calling him an ice hole, but that's just me.
He kept Carson Wentz.
Number 79.
Ooh, this is one of those that he shouldn't have kept.
You're seeing a pattern here.
Okay. Stephon Diggs.
Number 59.
Devontae Parker.
Number 49.
Now, to the credit of him, he didn't have a whole lot to work with as far as keepers.
Oh, no, but I would say this. I mean, last year I was in the same boat. I traded for Leonard Fournette.
Yes. Oh, yeah, at the beginning of the season. And Marlon Mack.
And Marlon Mack. And yeah. I made it. I was in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So
you were in the Vince Cheeseparty Championship.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant to say. It got stuck in my throat though because of my mask.
All right, so you're going, I would assume, running back.
I had him looking at Jonathan Taylor.
Yes.
James Conner.
Okay.
And David Montgomery. Because okay. He needs a starting, he can't go.
Yeah, he can't take a chance on a David Johnson who is technically the top-ranked running back here because he's either hurt or not playing anyway.
Right, so he needs a guy that's going to play. So here's the guy that I said he's gonna take the gamble and take Jonathan Taylor.
You think so?
He's gonna say, hey, I'll gamble it. If he starts the beginning of the year, I'm a genius.
You got a stud, right? Yeah. Okay.
So that's what I did.
All right. So we're giving Jonathan Taylor to the Frozen Lake, Frozen Ice, Forest Lake, Frozen Ice Holes.
Yeah. Shorten that name.
Yes. Next one. Panama City Poison Dart Frogs.
Same problem.
Their short name.
Yeah.
Shorten that name up. He kept Tom Brady.
Number 80.
Ooh. Christian McCaffrey.
Number 1.
Joe Mixon.
Number 16. So obviously he's got two running backs and a quarterback. So
going receiver.
Going receiver. So the top guys that I have on the board are Cooper Kupp,
right?
Allen Robinson,
okay,
and Robert Woods.
And Robert Woods. You know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would do out of those three guys, Robert Woods.
I have him taking Cooper Kupp.
Well, same team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's good. I think somebody on that team is going to be fantastic, and I just,
hope it's Cooper Kupp.
Well, he's more productive when he's on the field. The problem is that he sometimes isn't on the field.
Right. He was there all year last year, wasn't he?
No, he was hurt again last year. Yeah.
Cooper Kupp to the Poison Dart Frogs, which brings us to the number 8 pick, the Manassas Asses. This is number the nine, wife. Oh, I'm sorry.
Number 9.
Oh, yeah, number 9. The Manassas Asses. This is the wife of the Roswell Violators. She kept Aaron Jones.
Number 10.
Miles Sanders.
Number 19.
And Adam Thielen.
Number 46.
Okay. Are we in quarterback position yet?
Again, it depends. It depends on personal preference. I think Linda will look at quarterback.
It's going to be Dak Prescott.
I think, and I know, I think she has an affinity for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, she loves Dallas Cowboys.
But I had her going with another player for a reason.
Okay.
We'll see if you can figure it out. I had her looking at Dak Prescott, Allen Robinson, and Robert Woods.
So.
He plays for the Bears.
Yeah, but she's not a Bears. That's Justin.
But she can trade him for the Bears.
Oh, okay. Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a brilliant pick.
Good call.
So you ever go on Allen Robinson?
I think he's the best receiver on the board, and I think, I think she'll be tempted to go quarterback just because of everybody looks at their draft board and goes, oh, what do I got to fill in?
I have two running backs. I have a receiver.
But if she skips receiver here, she puts herself at risk of being down the board quite a bit.
Before she gets another one.
Exactly.
All right. I am just going to tell you right there, if Dak Prescott is there,
she'll take.
I have $5.
So. I assume so.
Which brings us back to the La Crescent Hogs at number 10.
He's hogging all the first-round draft choices.
Second pick in his first round. He has Ezekiel Elliott. He drafted Raheem Mostert with the fifth pick. Cortland Sutton and John Brown.
All right, so he's got 2-2.
Yep.
So here's a guy that obviously could look quarterback.
Okay.
But again, I think, and I'm basing this on Dan. I don't know Randy that well, but I'm basing this on Dan.
Okay.
And assume that Randy has the same mindset.
I'm going to remind you that he won the championship one year with Blake Bortles.
Bortles, exactly. So I had him looking at, I had him looking at Dak Prescott. I had him just kicking the tires more
right,
or less.
Right.
Had him looking at James Conner.
Can you just do that little dance for me that you do?
And then David Montgomery.
Okay.
Because again, here's a guy that he's got his second pick in the first round.
I kind of like the David Montgomery pick.
I was tempted. I went James Conner.
James Conner.
But David Montgomery is.
Yeah, either way, you're all right.
They're both the starting running back for the team, so.
Okay.
Somewhere in that vent.
We are at the number 11 pick, two picks before me. The Pulaski Colossal Kielbasas. They kept. Then they need some help. Chris Carson.
Number 67.
Le'Veon Bell.
Number 29.
Davante Adams.
Number 6.
Actually, Chris Carson was a little higher than I thought he would be.
Well, it all comes down to him as health. If he's healthy,
yeah,
they're fine. If he's not healthy, you're going with a save that...
And Rashad Penny is not going to play for them this year.
He's currently on the PUP, but...
Yeah, I read something that he probably will not...
Oh, the whole year?
Well, that he's at least going to be on the PUP list at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So that's another 6 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Guaranteed that Carson will be starting.
Well, except they've got... Homer and who'd they draft this year? Dallas. DJ Dallas.
Yeah. Okay.
You never know.
Yeah, okay. All right. They have Chris Carson.
Remember the gum chewer, he doesn't care when you were drafted.
No, the broken nose gum chewer. Ass slapping.
All right. So we had them looking at Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Mark Ingram and David Montgomery.
Okay.
I had these guys, based on historical data, taking Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott goes to the Kielbasas.
First team to succumb to the quarterback pressure.
Because they're scared.
Scared.
The Rough and Ready Penguins. This is the guy that took over Dan's team when he retired from the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football League. His keepers.
Did we put him in the Ring of Honor?
That's coming up. Oh. There's like a 3-year wait.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay.
We got to wait 3 years just in case he comes back.
Hey, has he turned in the paperwork yet?
He officially has turned in the paperwork, okay. But might be taken back. We'll see.
Oh, okay.
Because if something could always happen.
Well, you know, injuries happen during the season.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, I understand.
Rough and Ready Penguins. He kept Josh Jacobs.
Number 23.
Mike Evans.
Number 41.
Amari Cooper.
Number 38.
All right, so you have him going either running back.
I have him going fully running back.
David Montgomery would be my pick.
And I don't know who, I don't know this guy.
He's the guy who works for NASA, so he's a rocket scientist.
He's going to draft like a rocket scientist then. So he should go running back. He'll know.
I'll take that guy that's a doctor, that lineman.
Well, I have him looking at Mark Ingram, David Johnson, and David Montgomery. Those are the three starters left on the board.
And I would think... Out of those three, David Montgomery's the guy that's going to play the most.
You are correct.
I can get a hurt David Johnson anytime.
Yeah,
doesn't have to even be named David Johnson.
Montgomery's guaranteed carries. He's guaranteed touches. I mean.
Which brings me to me.
This has been this is what this whole podcast is about.
We can quit after this. The Cape Girardeau Rush.
Now you can also tell me from a factual standpoint. If I'm close.
Well, I can promise you this.
Yes.
That I have yet to even look at this.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I haven't won a championship in years.
But you know what you're going to do? You're going to listen to this. You're going to listen back to this. You're going to go, God damn, that Wayne guy's smart. I should listen to him more often.
Let's just see what you have.
He keeps taking my
I
money
I can tell you right
year.
Now, I won't take David Johnson, and I won't take Mark Ingram.
Well, let me look at it this way. I had you looking at...
Let's give the fans who I have.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
We'll go number 1, Patrick Mahomes.
Number 15.
What?
Number 15.
That's insane. Devin Singletary.
McCaffrey's number 1.
Devin Singletary, your breakout candidate for this year.
Number 35.
DeAndre Hopkins, who when I traded for him was still a Houston Texan.
That looked good for you.
It did. Now, almost, not quite so sure.
Almost as good as getting rid of Darius Geis.
Yeah. Well, that worked out better than DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, I think Hopkins would be. He's rated number 17.
Man. Okay.
So I had you looking at Mark Ingram just at a glance, just sideways.
All right.
And then I had you looking at Robert Woods and DJ Moore.
Okay. I won't take DJ Moore because I'm not quite sure. About the whole Teddy one knee Bridgewater.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Who else did you say?
Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. I would consider. I think there'd be. Okay. I could tell you that I may look. If I'm going to go receiver, I may look rookie here.
Receiver?
Yes.
No. That's not how you win a championship.
I understand, but my next pick isn't until a while from now.
Oh, okay.
We'll see after this pick. I can let you know.
So you're looking at save. You're looking at saves.
I'm looking at saves and guys that are possibly going to give me more output than a DJ Moore and a Robert Woods.
Well, I would flip you then to actually who I had Roswell taken in the second round.
CD Lamb?
No, I would have you taking Calvin Ridley myself. But
oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you that if he's available,
CD Lamb,
I'm going to take CD Lamb.
Okay, so for the purpose.
But who did you have me taking?
So for the purpose of this, I had you taking DJ Moore. I hadn't you taking the young guy.
All right, we'll just go with your thing.
Okay.
DJ Moore.
You hurt my feelings.
No, that's all right. Like I said, this is why I probably haven't won a championship in how many years. Which brings us to our champion, and we say it with pride. Champion.
Champion.
Henry Smith and his Maui Mongols. He has kept Drew Brees.
87.
Todd Gurley.
26.
And Michael Thomas.
Number 4.
His goal this year is I'm going to win it with old guys.
Oh, man.
Old hurt guys.
We are.
You're perfect.
We are in simpatico on this.
Well, you haven't taken.
I had Henry standing on his porch looking out at his lawn going, get off my lawn! Except.
So you have him going running back.
I had him looking at Mark Ingram.
Yep, I was just going to say, you probably haven't taken Mark Ingram.
David Johnson. And I put Cam Akers in there as a maybe, as a down the road thing.
Okay.
Again, it depends on how things break out in the spring. But ultimately, I had him taking Ingram.
Mark Ingram. Big Truss. Oh, wait, no, that's Lamar Jackson's Big Truss. Apparently he doesn't know how to put a T on the end of the word.
Well, you know.
Okay, anyways. That's it for the first round. We move on to the second round only because we have to get a pick in here for Wayne.
So far, I'm 14-0. That's all I know.
Every one of my picks is correct.
Until proven wrong.
The DC Snipers begin our second round. Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, his first round pick, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, and Julio Jones.
He's looking solid except for that Aaron Rodgers save. Wow. I had his possibilities. I have him looking at wide receiver.
Okay.
So I have him looking at Robert Woods.
Okay.
Keenan Allen.
All right.
And Tyler Lockett.
What about Calvin Ridley? You don't have him looking there?
I didn't have him in here yet.
Okay.
I actually have him popping up in the next
couple picks?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say you're going to go Robert Woods.
I actually had him taking Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett, exactly. That was exactly what I was thinking. Tyler Lockett to the DC Snipers. We're going to, after next week's draft, we're going to go over and see
how bad this was. See how bad it'll be like a regular NFL draft, how bad that always is.
Oh, my God. You're no Mel. Who the hell is Mel Kiper? All right, next pick, Roswell Violators. He has Big Trust, Lamar Jackson, Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon, and his first-round pick tight end, George Kittle, the million-dollar man.
The multi-million-dollar man.
Exactly.
I have him looking at Robert Woods, Keenan Allen, and Calvin Ridley.
And you have him going?
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley goes off the board to the Violators of Roswell. Next pick, Fargo Force. Deshaun Watson, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, and his first-round pick, Odell Beckham Jr.
And again, have him looking at wide receiver again.
Okay.
And Robert Woods, Keenan Allen, and Terry McLaurin are the guys that I had him looking at, and I had him taking Robert Woods here.
And those are the top three guys that the Dominator has.
See, how about that? I do this in my own head.
And look at you.
Bingo right on with the Dominator.
So you have the Fargo Force taking Robert Woods to go along with Odell Beckham Jr.
That is correct.
Our next pick, Tosa Tornadoes. Baker Mayfield, Kenyon Drake, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Travis Kelce.
Had him looking at another running back.
Okay.
And so I looked at David Johnson.
Right.
Cam Akers.
Right.
And DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
Now, the funny thing is on the site.
Yes.
They actually have Kerryon Johnson way ahead of Swift.
Yes. Well, and that's And that's actually a Dan belief, too.
Really?
He believes Kerryon Johnson will be the starting running back
one of those,
for Detroit.
But Okay. So that's, I mean, that's why you got to look at, you got to believe in the set of numbers you pick,
because that's right.
They're all just guesses. So I had him taking Cam Akers.
Cam Akers from the Los Angeles Rams, and they need a running back.
Yes.
And he looks, the talking heads are really big on him.
He's starting to get some pub. They're starting to come off of Henderson a little bit, but I still see him out there saying, you know, four-headed monster, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God, no. I hope not.
I know.
For anybody who has.
Exactly. It makes fantasy football boring when they do that.
I got 3 points, and he was the leading rusher.
Yeah.
LaCresson Hogs, Ezekiel Elliott, James Conner, Raheem Mostert, Cortland Sutton, John Brown.
I have him looking at wide receiver.
Okay.
I do admit that they're probably going to think about receiver.
Okay.
But I think still he's going to resist the
temptation. Urge.
They're still just so many of them. They're so bunched. So I have him looking at Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Russell Wilson, ooh, and Terry McLaurin.
You know what? If it were me, it would be Russell Wilson.
That's why I put him on the list. I said they're going to look at him. But
yeah, because here's the thing. What'd you say? Keenan Allen?
Yep.
Hurt, usually.
Yep.
Terry McLaurin? Who's going to throw him the ball? They're talking. When you can say Alex Smith has a chance of being your starting quarterback, the guy, did you see that 30 for 30?
Yes, I did. That was
that pretty, leg.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I don't know how he's walking on that.
I never saw.
Much less running.
I never actually saw the actual football footage of it.
I didn't either.
And when they showed that, I mean, I
couldn't watch
it. It was like the Phil Simms thing. Oh, or who's the guy from Washington?
Joe Theismann.
Joe Theismann.
No, I couldn't watch that.
You just went, oh, it just hurt.
Oh, because I could barely, when he had that rack around his legs, looked like a rotisserie thing.
And he was literally minutes from leaving the hospital.
Yeah.
The either nurse or doctor, whoever it was, said, let's just hold you over one more night just to see what happens. Just
to be sure.
And if he wouldn't have done that, he'd have lost his leg.
Yeah, because they said he almost lost his leg after the surgery because the infection was so bad.
When they opened up those bandages and they showed those stills on there, it was like.
That black?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like, oh, my God.
You didn't notice this earlier?
It didn't hurt. It didn't anything. Makes me sick. Anyway,
okay.
I actually had him taking Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin, even after all that talking,
yeah,
he gets the Washington Redskin.
That guy's a stud. If they actually get a quarterback there, he could be phenomenal.
All right, which brings me to my pick, Cape Girardeau Rush. Patrick Mahomes, Devin Singletary, DeAndre Hopkins, and DJ Moore. Let's see where you have me going this time.
Let's see if I rectify what I did wrong.
A drop for you right here. Just got this alert. Kenny Clark of the Green Bay Packers.
No.
$70 million.
Oh, they signed him.
Yep.
Awesome.
$70 million four-year extension.
It'd be great if they'd actually get him somebody to work alongside of him, but.
Yeah. Wow.
Good for him. Got to make some money.
All right. So anyways, back to this.
Okay. So last time I had you taking DJ Moore, you would have taken Cam.
I would have taken CD Lamb.
CD Lamb, sorry.
That's all right.
Cam Newton is just one of your favorite players. Yeah, I always think
of all time.
Okay, so
hope he's available for me later on.
I have you looking at David Johnson.
Okay.
James White, because I know you're the old man, like the old players.
Yeah.
And then DeAndre Swift.
All right. Out of those three,
and I have you taking DeAndre Swift.
That's what I would do.
Bingo.
If it's going to be those three, there's also a Ronald Jones possibility there.
I think he'll be available. But I forgot you lost a lot of your picks.
Yeah, I think I still have a third coming up.
I thought about Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
And but I just thought he'd be available later.
Yes, but out of those, DeAndre Swift would be the guy I would go with.
I'm getting there.
Shortened team, Frozen Lake Ice Holes.
All right.
Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, Stephon Diggs, Devontae Parker.
Have him still looking at running back. So David Johnson, James White, Kareem Hunt, top guys on the board.
Yep.
I have him taking David Johnson.
Somebody's
got to do it eventually. Yeah,
remember when he was the number one guy being picked a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And now here he is, what, fifth round, basically?
Well, yeah, exactly, fifth round. Middle of the fifth round.
Panama City Poison Dart Frogs, Tom Brady, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Cooper Kupp.
Have him looking at receiver. So got Keenan Allen,
yes.
A.J. Green,
yes.
Jarvis Landry.
Okay.
Have him taking Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns. Not a bad pick.
I just don't.
And now that he's back
from
his injury and playing?
I just don't know that team. They scare me, but that might be the year where everybody was a year earlier on them last year and they're good this year. I don't know.
The Manassas Asses, Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, Allen Robinson, Adam Thielen.
Okay, so I have them looking at, pretty much everything. I have them looking at James White, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan.
James White, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan. And again, if she didn't go Dak Prescott before, I would say this is quarterback time.
I had her taking Russell Wilson.
Probably a good pick.
See the ex-Badger, the...
Yes.
That's why I think she could have waited. That's why I thought she could
like Dak Prescott with a little more hair, afro.
Yeah, a little more skill.
Yeah, and a little more skill. Yes. The Roswell Violators are up again. They have Lamar Jackson, Austin Eckler, Melvin Gordon, Calvin Ridley, George Kittle.
All right, so he can go anywhere. I don't think he's going to take a quarterback this early, but I could be wrong.
Well, he's got Lamar.
Oh, that's right. So I got him looking at James White,
Keenan
Allen,
okay,
and A.J. Green.
Okay.
And just because I'm a little iffy on Eckler and Gordon, me personally.
Yes.
I haven't taken James White for safety, security.
James White of the Patriots. Somebody's got to run the ball.
Yeah, somebody. And, I mean, if nothing else, Cam just dump it off like he did with McCaffrey, and White can eat.
Exactly. I mean, he's receiver out of the back.
Yeah.
And it won't be Cam. It's going to be Stidham.
Jason Stidham. Isn't he a movie star?
No, it's
Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham. Yeah.
See how close I made that?
A cousin.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
7 degrees of separation.
They're related. One's from Australia, and they spell it differently.
Oh, man. The only first name that goes with that last name is Jason.
Yes, exactly.
Second round, 11th pick, the Pulaski Colossal Kielbasas. Prescott, Le'Veon Bell, Chris Carson, Davante Adams.
So he's... set everywhere. He needs a second wide receiver.
Yes.
We're starting to get to where it gets a little thin. With the front line guys. So I am looking at Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, and D.J. Shark.
Okay.
Tevin take G.J.
D.J. Shark of the Jaguars. Yeah, I just looked. My next pick is until the fourth round.
Oh.
Hopefully C.D. will be there, but doubtful. Yeah, okay.
It comes on because this league is more important what you're doing this year, not down the road.
And fingers crossed, without the preseason games and watching the rookies play.
Exactly.
Maybe a lot of them will be forgotten.
Well, and the... press guys have limited ability to talk to these guys now.
Right, yeah, they're not even... really at camp, they're recording through the fence.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think you're going to get a lot more speculation.
Yes.
And a lot less actual information.
I agree. Rough and Ready Penguins, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper. Quarterback.
This is where I see the wall falling. So easily... Uh-oh. Pulaski could be the starter of it, but I'm rough and ready. I have him looking at A.J. Green, Kareem Hunt, and Matt Ryan, Josh Allen type guys.
Okay.
I have him taking Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, the best available quarterback according to the Dominator.
Boom.
Undo last move. Show Pierce Snappers.
All right. So this is
your keepers. Leonard Fournette.
Oh, sorry, number 25.
Chris Godwin.
Number 42.
And A.J. Brown, your first pick of the draft.
Number 54.
All right.
I am in the
Tagliere?
No. Tanking for Tua.
No, you are not.
I'm in the tanking for Tua. I can't win, not from this position.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking at it going like, I got to get the best. I'm like,
listen to him. I can't win from this position.
I can't.
You sound like Bill Belichick.
I before
we're on to Cincinnati
before we save this,
cause that's who we recorded before.
I made an offer. I tried to go, zero RB.
Okay.
And everybody's saying this year, you cannot do zero RB and win. So I said, you know what?
Well, you have Leonard Fournette. You still have zero RB.
Well, if I had made the deal, yeah. I was going to trade Leonard Fournette.
Oh, God.
And so I was going to try to go zero RB and see if I could actually make it work.
Okay.
Because I like to fly in the face of what people say you can't do. But because I couldn't make the deal, I ended up with these saves. And I'm looking at A.J. Green, Kareem Hunt, and God forbid, Josh Allen was the best quarterback on my, and I'm like, well, that takes that off the list.
I can get him later,
or not at all. So I'm actually, if I were in this position, and this is what fell to me, I take AJ Green.
My top quarterback, according to Dominators, go Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow.
And so I asked the question: how is Jared Goff number one ahead of Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray number one? Yeah. Number two, who's the fourth guy?
Joe Burrow.
How is Joe Burrow anywhere near any of those guys?
Well, because they're giving him a points thing, a points average of 2,000 points, which is the next guy in line, Ben Roethlisberger.
I would take Roethlisberger over Burrow in a win-now league.
You know what? I would tell you, I would take Ben Roethlisberger over any of those five or those four guys.
See, I would, honestly, if I was looking at quarterback, I would look at Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray.
Matthew Stafford, yes. But I would hope he'd be there a little later.
Yes.
Because people would be
scared. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I wouldn't take him here, obviously, because I didn't do it.
Let's see, where they have Josh Allen is... They have him as a number 26 quarterback.
Where he belongs.
Right. But
where I've been saying, all, where I put my money in my mouth and said,
yes,
that guy's not a top 10 quarterback. But
they have him ahead of Tua Tagovailoa, though.
Well, because he's not going to play that's absolutely correct, too. Oh, God. Because you're going to have the Irishman playing.
Oh, stop.
Making me more money to put in my mouth. Stop.
All right, who are you taking here?
So I took A.J. Green.
A.J. Green.
Where does he rank in the...
In the receivers? Number 40.
Oh, man, that's bad. Well, I mean, I think my stuff is more accurate, so...
Okay, so A.J. Green it is. To the Snappers. Brings us to the Maui Mongols. Final pick in the second round, final pick of our mock draft. The champion, Drew Brees, Todd Gurley, Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas.
So again, looking at his roster, he's pretty balanced.
Yes,
he's solid at every position. He does need a number two
receiver.
So I'm looking through this, and after second glancing this just now,
yes,
I probably would change my pick from AJ Green, but
yes,
I'm staying with what I did.
Yep,
I had him looking at Keenan Allen, Tyler Boyd,
okay,
and DK Metcalf.
Okay, so according to the Dominator, Keenan Allen, one available. DK Metcalf, second available. Tyler Boyd, he is, what is that, number 10-ish available, best available?
Oh, I haven't taken DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks, the guy who has, what, 2% body fat?
Yeah, if that.
Lost out on my bolder, stupid prediction last year. When I said he was going to be injured because of his...
Oh, I know.
Damn.
You'd have thunk.
Yeah, but no.
Maybe it'll be this year with the no time to stretch out and all that.
Oh, shit. That's it, everybody, for this year's mock draft. Like I said, we will go over after the draft next week, maybe we'll do a quick little thing.
See how badly I did?
Yeah, see, or how correct you were.
Yeah, let's see. I'll make a lot of excuses and tell you why I would have been what I would have been.
This is why I did this.
If only they would listen to me.
They didn't listen beforehand. But you know what that means? It's time for the Fantasy Girl, everybody. Hey. Fantasy Girl time, the most popular segment of the show, although that fantasy draft.
Right up there with it?
I was at the edge of my seat.
Is that just because you have to go to the bathroom?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to see who I was picking. And I was, other than DJ Moore, I can deal with it.
All right.
So, we are here, everyone. Fantasy Girl of the Week. Remember, you can check her out on the pod, on the website, cffpodcast.com. And the pictures are there. The bio about her is there because I know everybody just goes for the articles anyway.
Oh, I only read the articles.
Our fantasy girl this week, Emily DiDonato. She was born February 24th, 1991. And you want to guess what her profession is?
Okay, she could be a chef. No, I'm going to go with modeling.
American fashion model. She was born in Goshen, New York, and she's of Italian, Irish, and Native American ancestry.
Holy.
She's more of an Indian than...
She should have been vice president.
What's her name? Who's a...
Who
was the one that claimed she was an Indian and got jobs because of it?
Yeah, well, what does Trump call her? Pocahontas.
She called her Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Anyways, Elizabeth Warren.
There you go.
But no, this is Emily DiDonato. Maybe Elizabeth Warren next week.
She looks a lot like Elizabeth Warren.
Pretending to enjoy a beer.
Yes.
Emily was scouted at a Danbury mall when she was only 10 years old. And was signed to be the new face of Maybelline just a few months after graduating from high school.
That's why I recognize her.
Yeah, because all that Maybelline you buy?
I got four girls, so.
Yes. She began modeling for Victoria's Secret in 2009, and she was also dubbed top newcomer in 2009 by Vogue Germany. There you go. In 2013.
You can't trust the crowd.
No. Especially those German ones. She's got the right size face. I ramble. In 2013, Emily DiDonato made her debut in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue after being photographed in Namibia, Africa. Boom.
Easy for you to say.
What, does that make her an African-American? Or American. You have to be born there?
No, that's an American in African.
Okay, American in Africa. There you go. Okay. The 29-year-old fashion model stands 5'10" tall. She weighs 138 pounds. She wears a size 4 dress. She has green eyes, if this helps, and brown hair.
I thought they were blue. That must be
Well, there is no such color as green eyes, but, you know, they always got to be different. You either have brown or you have blue.
Okay. I'll go with that.
That's science, like COVID.
So wait a minute. So she's taller than your average model.
Yes, 5'10".
She's heavier than your average model.
Yes, 138.
She has a bigger dress size.
That's because she's married.
Ah.
You don't have to.
You know. See, you buried the lead there.
And a size 4 dress.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's a bigger dress than normal, too.
Green hair, brown eyes. Her measurements are.
Did you just say green hair, brown eyes?
Oh, yeah. Green eyes, brown hair.
Okay. You threw me off for a minute there.
She's a Martian.
That's right. Wait a minute. She's shape-shifting.
She's a Martian American.
All right. So let's... I think I have this one dead nuts.
Okay, great.
But
I've heard that before, and then a lot of horns go off.
I know. I just jinxed myself.
A whole lot of this.
I thought that was a good sound. I'm gonna start in the middle.
Okay, as always with the waist.
Yeah, it throws me otherwise. I'm gonna go with I'm going to go with 24.
25. That's all right. Sorry. It might have been the side view that you were looking at.
Well, she's got that butt push thing out.
Yes. Yeah. The model stance.
The model stance. Yeah. Throws, it kind of sucks it in a little
bit. Yeah. All right. Top or bottom?
Let's go bottom. Let's go bottom.
Waist or hips, I mean.
So we're going to go. It's 25. I'm going to go 36.
35. I think we're going to have to change this to you have to be exactly right to get the bell.
I think that's fair.
Because 1 inch off is.
It's just giving you way too much.
Exactly. Too much leeway. Well, now, if we were centimeters.
Now that I've applied the the mathematics to it, I've taken all the fun out of it. Okay. Let's go tried and true. I'm going to go 36.
34.
Dang it.
You want to guess bra size?
I was going to go 35. I'm going to say B.
The rest of it?
35.
32B.
Holy cow. Okay.
But she is a, what did I say, 34? 25, 35? Right? Is that what it was? I threw the paper on the floor already.
I trust you. I don't
okay,
remember.
That's what it is. Well, you can. I have them up on the website, cffpodcast.com.
Yes, I was ogling the pictures.
There you go, everybody. That's it for this week. The mock draft is complete. We will find out how correct Wayne was on that next week.
Yeah, don't draft somebody else just to make me look bad.
I know. Brad does that.
He's like, you know, I've heard that about Brad.
He goes, I would tell you right now, my pick was wrong. I'm like, even if it was right, would it be wrong?
All right.
It's so, going to be now.
So Brad, maybe I said somebody just so you take somebody else. Made you think about that?
So there you go. That's it for this week, everybody. Check out the website, cffpodcast.com. Leave us an email, cffpodcast@hotmail.com, or Dan at Strap1971@yahoo.com. Don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. You can use either the email or the fan line to get involved in our Glutton's Guillotine League. Your chance to win $340 worth of food gift cards.
And if you get in the Glutton Guillotine League, you don't have to wear a mask to turn in the coupons.
Right. Or to even draft. We're going to draft.
Yeah.
We're crazy. So we're going to draft no masks.
No mask required.
No mask required. Joe Biden can suck it.
No masks were harmed in the making of this
fantasy football league. Until next week, everybody, be good.
See ya.